The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, friends, relatives, acquaintances, fellow patriots.
People who hate us but like to punish themselves by listening.
Fellow activists, you are joining We the People Radio again. Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our incredible show producer, and I always say this musical savant, because he truly is a savant.
All around good guy.
Bob Martin.
Good.
We call him muted Bob today.
And Bob,
he's
the
a
button.
Genius on music, but he can't remember to push the button on the microphone.
Yeah, Bob the button pusher.
All right, well, good morning, ladies.
Hey, so if you're tuning in for the first time, and I am hoping that there are a few of you out there that are, you are joining We the People Radio. We are chatting and streaming worldwide at wethepeopleradio.us. Our call-in number is 530-605-4567.
And if you call us right before the top of the hour, we're going to pretend we can't hear the phone.
Yes. wethepeopleradio.us. If you go to that webpage, which our great friend and fellow patriot Robert Exter does for us every week, and if Aaron and I are remiss in pulling our guests together quickly enough, he's usually up until the wee hours of Saturday morning, or Sunday morning, I should say, putting this together for us. And you will find out everything about today's guest on WeThePeopleRadio.us, as well as individual links to every archived show that we've ever done, and we're fast approaching 3 years. It's quite a library, actually. Video and...
It's actually a great library. I was talking to somebody about geoengineering yesterday up at Lake Almanor. And
ooh, you were in Lake Almanor?
I was.
I love Lake Almanor. Was that work or pleasure?
That was work. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of funny. I took a picture of the lake, and I texted it to my mom, and I said, this is my office today.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
My mom's like, that's pretty good.
I love it there.
It was a great drive, except for the few cars that had never actually been on a road that wasn't straight.
Yeah, there are those.
You know, and the sign says 30, so they go 50.
They must come from Southern California.
You're killing me. Yeah, they were just like, you know, and of course, and then you get into the straightaway, and they slam on the gas, so you can't pass them. And here comes the curvy part again. You're like, come on, buddy. That wasn't the last curvy part.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
There are those.
Kind of, for those of us who drive curvy roads a lot, it's like, just use the turnout.
Hey, so a little update on smart meters.
Really?
You know, PG&E has been trying for some time to put smart meters on all of their California customers, that's replace their analog meters with smart meters. And my husband and I did the whole opt-out and call and put a sign on our meter and write letters. We did the whole nine yards.
So unlock your gate.
Unlock our gate. And so we've never gotten a smart meter. So I get a letter from PG&E this week that is very friendly and naively persuasive. And they're trying to convince me that it would be a wonderful thing for the planet if we signed on to a smart AC program.
Uh-oh.
And here's the thing. They're gonna.
Does it come with extra deodorant for the sweating?
Yeah, apparently so. And, you know, the thing is in this letter, they try to put a positive spin on the fact that they will remotely control your thermostat. And they tell you that they're going to remotely control your thermostat, that during peak heat times that they're going to turn the thermostat up, and that you might experience a few hours during the warm summer days where it isn't quite as cool, but what a great thing for the planet. And if you...
Hold on, that was scoffing. It didn't come across.
Yeah. And if you sign up for the smart AC, they'll pay you $50. This is how badly they want us on board.
Wow.
They'll pay us $50. Which, of course, would be eaten up in 1 month if they're controlling my thermostat.
Actually, that'd be a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. So I'm just curious how many folks out there got that letter from PG&E. Those who knew ahead of time and were in the know about smart meters and declined them.
So if you don't have one, you don't have to be on that program at all?
No, they charge an extra $10 every month in your bill.
But see, they said that there was... Okay, maybe I'm remembering wrong, but... misremembering, but wasn't there some deal about this? We talked about this, and PG&E said that they didn't have the ability to do that. This was just for billing.
You know,
they couldn't remotely control anything.
But apparently they can remotely control everything because it says so in the letter.
Wow.
And if you're listening, my husband, when you empty the garbage today in the kitchen, do you mind looking for that letter? I'd like to have it.
Don't throw away the letter,
I forgot,
Dan.
And I threw it away. So if you're listening, if you wouldn't mind doing that for me, thank you.
Wow.
I'd like to save that.
Yeah, because they were like, oh, it's just about billing.
Yeah.
It's just billing.
Yeah.
It's so not true. I have to do proof. With anything.
I have proof. See, now they're pulling out all the big guns. Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Just so you know.
Huh.
Okay, so update on veterans?
Well, well followed on the geoengineering because...
Okay.
It's just, you know, they ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
They ignore that whole thing.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, but you sweating in your house is going to save the planet.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
You know what?
Look at all the flooding going on everywhere right now across the country.
Yeah, it was nice. They lifted all that moisture over us so we could burn up and they could drown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
You know, I was at my parents' house yesterday for an hour or so, and they were just dumbfounded by these extreme weather conditions that are so unusual. Well, why do you think that is? What, God's playing games with us? I don't think so.
No. He gave us them to play games with. He can't play games with us, too, and send us the people that are idiots. We can't fight them all.
The powers that be are playing, they're messing around with Mother Nature.
Yeah.
So,
don't you remember that from years ago? You know, the commercial?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not nice to...
Yeah. So...
veterans update?
Yeah. Give us that, because if you're a new listener, we've been dealing with...
VA, they're so tiresome.
The Veterans Administration, they get bonuses if they don't pay out veterans benefits. So
it's savings. Mm-hmm. That's called savings.
Mm. Not bonus?
Well, no. It's called a payout savings incentive.
Ah, gotcha.
So it's an incentive to slow down the payouts so that there's savings so that they... But it's like the top echelon. There actually was a little meeting last week in Oakland, and they directed their staff not to talk to Republican congressmen or their staff because they were trying to take away their paid vacations and make their lives miserable.
So they're not supposed to talk to Republican congressmen?
Yeah.
Not Democrat congressmen or not congressmen in general, but specifically Republican.
It started out with congressmen, but then it became focused on Republican congressmen. So anyway, yeah, that's what they that's their big thing. Oh, plus they have closets. You know, everybody's seen the videos where they have all these files, you know, 9,000 files, and the floors are all caving in, blah blah blah, and then they basically get a lot of sympathy from that. And I'm sure that those are true pictures someplace, but in Oakland, just for fun. And there's no sound on the online, Bob, by the way.
Small, there is now.
Oh, there is? Okay. I was going to say, we were getting messages from people that that they couldn't hear.
Okay.
So anyhow, they have files in closets marked janitorial.
Janitorial closets.
In Oakland, in the big tower. They have some full, some partial floors between 12 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
12 and 17, I'm sorry, in Oakland there. Mm-hmm. At the Benefits Claim Center, and the janitorial closets, I heard from an insider, have files in them. And so those are people that made them mad, people that might have, you know, called their congressman excessively and, you know, something.
Exercise their rights as a free citizen.
Case they just, you know, they didn't like it. There are certain, people are going to think I'm crazy. There's a whole nationality that won't process any claims with people's names who start with X, Y, or Z because those are unlucky letters.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Do you think? And they actually get away with it. That's what's really actually bizarre. You know, it's kind of like in real business,
mm-hmm.
get over it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or you're fired.
Like move your lucky numbers to, you know,
unlucky
letters to another job. No, they just, you know, crap like that. So anyway, they have these... they have these closets marked janitorial with tons of files in them. And so that was mentioned to the people who are the boss of the folks in Oakland. And they wound up having to clean out the closets and put mops and brooms back in before somebody
That's
came
hysterical.
To, before somebody came to look at them because somebody might have mentioned somebody might come to look at them.
Wow.
And So,
what did they do with the files?
I guess there were like 15 people who had to go mm-hmm. around with these big giant carts and clean out the janitorial mm-hmm. closets and get those. See, those files aren't even in the computer.
Oh, wow.
So when people file for benefits and they say, oh, we can't find your information.
That's because it's in the janitorial closet.
One of the options is check the janitorial closet, which is why something was said about the janitorial closet. So those files were all taken out and mm-hmm. Kind of put back on the beltway, which mm-hmm. was a good thing for all the veterans, which is, oh, I'm sorry, isn't that what the Veterans Administration is supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're supposed to be, like, working for the veterans.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of nice people there who do.
Sure.
For real, there are a lot of nice people there who do.
And we do need to remember that we all tend to make blanket statements
yeah.
about entire agencies. And you have to remember that there are, you know, great people across the board in every single government agency and office that they know what's going on and they're doing their best to fight it internally. But, you know, they're making it really tough on whistleblowers now. So they're trying to
The only way any of this stuff gets fixed is folks on the inside talk mm-hmm. to people on the outside mm-hmm. and they collaborate and they get it done.
Yeah.
You know, we can complain all day long. We can identify the yeah. problem all day long. But if people with information don't connect mm-hmm. with people who can fix it,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, we don't move forward.
You don't.
So,
And it always comes back to we the people.
Exactly.
Always.
So there, and well, actually, it comes back to integrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes back to people of integrity who are willing to step up and,
yeah.
and do the right thing. You know, throughout history, people who were willing to step up and do the right thing, that's what always saves us. So,
yeah.
you know, when you meet people that are stepping up and doing the right thing, encourage those folks.
Sure.
It's not
and
as
stand
easy.
Behind them. And
it's
stand,
not as
well,
easy as
actually,
easy.
Actually, don't stand behind them. Stand with them.
Yeah, if you can.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, there was a Forest Service meeting update
yes.
last week.
Yes.
Okay. The people got a piece of the Forest Service for about, what did it start at? 5:30 Started at 5:30 probably went till about 8:30
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Could be wrong, but
okay.
it went way over. It was supposed
okay.
to stop at 7, but it went till about 8:30 I think people fully had their say, which was great.
Yeah, I heard that the Forest Service was rather meek.
They were meek, but I think the best line, mm-hmm. okay, the best line mm-hmm. was, it finally got kind of informal toward the end, and one of the guys sitting in the back, he goes, you know, I don't know what you people think you're doing, but this forest belongs to us, and you guys spend all day running around playing secret squirrel. closing our roads and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, make a note of that. Secret squirrel. We're going to use that.
We like that.
Yeah, yes.
We like that.
I don't know where that came from, if you just made it up or whatever, but, you know,
yeah.
just something about this voice in the back, you know. Spend all day playing secret squirrel.
Yeah.
People were just cracking up. I thought, oh, that was a great ending.
Sure.
So whoever
great.
That guy was, good job, guy out there.
Yeah. Thank you for attending the meeting.
Yeah, it was fun. So,
hey, so you know,
take
we're
a quick
gonna,
break. And
yeah,
bring
and we're going to talk about young people.
I know.
Because no matter what you think, you stop bashing the young people. They know what's going on, and they're doing something about it because it's their future.
Exactly.
That's in the trash can right now. Okay.
Yep.
So we're going to come
back. They're the ones who are going to get to experience their air conditioning being shut off because they're
yeah.
not going to send them a letter. Some knucklehead who lived there before them already sent the letter.
That's
and
right.
They're going to inherit it.
Yeah, and the knucklehead got the $50. So we're going to be back and go to wethepeopleradio.us to follow along about
yeah,
today's guests.
Yeah, definitely do that because pandaunite.org has all their information on there. You guys are going to like it. I'm talking about the NDAA, and I know everybody's worked up about it. Okay, over to you, Bob. Are we cool?
We are cool.
All right. Going to thank our advertisers. We're here at KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Be right back.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but body, then they go. What shall we do about them?
Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
And we're back. You're joining We the People Radio.
I couldn't find Secret Squirrel.
That's close enough.
Maybe get a quote from Boris and Natasha. Moose and squirrel, you know.
So
that's for you, Mark.
So, you know, a lot of the people in the movements for freedom and liberty are, the greatest generations, and all along they've said, where are the young people? And I know that we've started to see a lot of great, fantastic, smart, educated young people rising to the surface and joining us side by side. It took a while, but they're there. So we're going to play a little clip here that kind of introduces you to our guest speaker.
So why must we win this fight now? Why can't we just go about our lives, work our 9-to-5 jobs, and not worry about politics? Why can't we sit back in our living rooms watching football, Dancing with the Stars, and Jersey Shore? Wow. I will answer those questions with another. Do you think our founding fathers would have let this go on?
No.
Do you think they would have gone back to farming or their daily lives while our Congress has a lower approval rating than the British King? We live in one of the most dangerous and crucial times in American history. We have the NSA, the CIA, and a whole alphabet soup of agencies watching our every move. Judge Napolitano said, you know how many times the NSA has spied on Americans? Gazillions. We have a Congress and a president that pay no attention to the Constitution if they've even read it. There are riot police preparing for beating protesters at the RNC later, and a 1,700-person jail was recently emptied for holding protesters. There are near tanks operated by this Tampa, Florida Sheriff's Department. They're tanks except for the main gun. We have Oath Keepers in our law enforcement, yes. And for all of those who are upholding their oath and are current serving law enforcement or military or veterans, law enforcement or military, could you please stand up so we can recognize you? It is time to stand, to peacefully bring about a revolution. We have been doing that across the nation as supporters of the Ron Paul Revolution are elected to positions across America, and we need to continue that. But what happens if we fail? Even with the loss of many of our freedoms, we are still freer than tens of countries around the world. The liberty movements in those countries look to America as the bastion of freedom. If we fail to bring America back from the brink of tyranny, if our revolution disintegrates due to infighting or egos or endorsements, then it will not just be American tyranny, but world tyranny. Our fall would weaken or kill the morale of liberty movements around the world. Not only that, but with our 980-plus military bases around the world, the American military would not just be used to enforce American tyranny, but enforce global tyranny. We must win this battle for the hearts, the minds, and the souls of the American people. We will win this battle for America. We will restore the Constitution, and we will restore liberty.
And there you have it. Do not tell me that young people do not know and that they are not involved. Welcome to Dan Johnson, owner or founder of PANDA, P-A-N-D-A, People Against the N-D-A-A. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on the show.
Great. I love that clip. When did you give that speech?
That would have been almost a year ago.
Okay. Now, I know that we've got your bio on our webpage for folks to follow along that are online, but give us a little background on yourself. And honestly, I've got goosebumps after listening to you speak. You're fabulous. You're definitely a rising star for freedom and liberty. So what brought you to this point?
Well, I had the opportunity, and I credit my parents with this. I had the opportunity being homeschooled.
Go, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, and so got away from the government indoctrination centers at public schools. I had the opportunity to be homeschooled, and we went to the library a lot. And I became a very, very big fan of World War II history. I looked at the rise and fall of the Third Reich and the rise and fall of Nazi Germany. And I always kind of looked at why it happened. what brought it to that point? What were the psychological effects on the populace? How did we get to that point? And when I came across a YouTube video around Thanksgiving in 2011 talking about the NDAA and saying, you know, this is what our government is doing. This is a bill that's being debated. It was, at the time, being debated in the Senate. And watching Senator Lindsey Graham say, shut up, you don't get a lawyer. And watching McCain say that those who are a threat to the United States need to be eliminated. I remember sitting there going, you've got to be kidding me. This is America? This isn't America? This is Nazi Germany. And that was kind of my wake-up call. I was slightly interested in politics. I never really wanted to get involved until after college. But what do you do when your country needs you, when your country calls? You can't sit back. I mean, there's over a million people who have died to defend the freedoms we no longer enjoy, have died on foreign soil for that. To ignore the freedoms that they fought and died for, you may as well head up to Arlington and spit on their graves. So that was, it was social media, it was a YouTube video. And about a month and a half of research afterward, I remember going through and just kind of shocked that America had fallen this far. I was brought up to believe that this country was the land of the free and the home of the brave. And when I saw the NDAA get signed into law, I remember thinking, if not me, who? If not now, when? And decided that I had to. It's not an option, it's a duty. I had to take a stand because this was identical to the act called the Act for the Protection of the People and State of the Third Reich, otherwise known as the Reichstag Fire Decree. And we've done this before in America's history. We detained 110,000 Japanese Americans in World War II. And putting those together, you can't sit back. At least I couldn't sit back. So I decided that we absolutely had to do something. I absolutely had to do something about it.
You know, and I think that that's a really common thought and feeling with all of the people that have stepped up over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. These opportunities presented themselves to all of us, and we know that there is no choice in the matter. It was brought to us for a reason. So you're one of those.
Yeah. And all it really took was someone taking 20 minutes to upload a video.
Yeah.
And to really show what was happening.
Well, and that's how I found you, is somebody took a couple of minutes and posted something about you on Facebook. Thank God for social media.
Thank God you're actually looking at Facebook.
Yeah.
I count on you. I post things so you can read them.
Yeah.
that's how I use Facebook.
I'm going to send this to Elizabeth.
She's going to like it.
So your journey to creating Panda.
Hey, but wait, we better, I think we have to take a break because now it's 8:35 and
okay. We're
going to wind up with like 900 breaks and a breath
Got
in between.
It. Let's talk about that when we get back.
We're coming back with Dan. Hey, and when we do, we have to give everybody the 411 on what the NDAA is. I actually am realizing people don't all know that yet. So we better go back and do that first. We will be returning here. Yeah, sure. Easy for me to say. KCNR 1460 AM. Be right back.
Gotta stand by, private eye.
we're back. Who would have known that the music from our time was so significant? Were they trying to tell us something? We just thought they were all stoned.
They were. That's how come they could see the future.
Yeah.
They knew things.
That's not
yeah,
good.
They did.
I just did a commercial for the wrong product.
Welcome back.
Never mind. Take that all back.
Yeah, so we're talking to Dan.
Well, depending on what state you're listening in.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. We're talking to Dan Johnson, founder of Panda, nice People Against the NDAA. Hey, Dan, give the folks kind of a synopsis of what the NDAA is.
Sure, absolutely. The NDAA itself stands for the National Defense Authorization Act, and it's usually a good thing. Usually this bill funds our military and passed for well over 40 years. And it typically does not violate constitutional rights and even apply domestically. Usually this is a military funding bill. However, in 2007, the politicians on the Hill started noticing that it was a great bill to start throwing needles into. It was a great haystack because the bill had grown so large, I think it was 800 pages by that point. And in 2007, in the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act, they put in a provision that authorized a military unit to operate on U.S. soil, only on U.S. soil, and for civil disobedience and crowd control purposes. Now, this was later repealed in 2009, but it set the stage for the 2012 NDAA. The 2012 NDAA, in a nutshell, authorizes the indefinite military detention without charge or trial of any person, including an American citizen, on U.S. soil or an American citizen abroad, and applies the laws of war to American soil. Now, why is this so important? In 1862, February, Abraham Lincoln signed Proclamation 94. Many people know that proclamation as suspending habeas corpus, but the most important thing it did was not in the title, it was in the authorization itself. He said that all those who are, quote, disloyal to the government, close quote, could be placed and would be placed under military jurisdiction, a.k.a. the law of war. After that order was signed throughout the Civil War, Lincoln detained 15,000 Northerners, not Southerners, Northerners, and executed several, all American citizens. Then, in 1942, since we didn't learn our lesson the first time, Franklin Delano Roosevelt passed or signed, rather, Executive Order 9066. Now, this led to the military detention of 110,000 Japanese Americans, but the order itself says nothing about detention. It says the military shall be given jurisdiction over certain areas of the country. The law of war shall be applied. Syria, Egypt, Russia, or Communist Russia, China, and North Korea, at the very least, including actually Nazi Germany, have all had laws which allowed the military jurisdiction over their soil. And when they passed those laws, they entered into the more tyrannical times in those countries' history. So, the danger with the 2012 NDAA is that the law of war does not have to conform to the Constitution. The law of war is whatever the commander-in-chief of the military, the president, says goes. That's the United States law of war. And the last two times we've implemented it on U.S. soil, 15,000 were detained first time, 110,000 the second time. That's not a good trend.
No.
Now, the question that I can hear people asking out there is you are 20 years old and you've come to these conclusions through a lot of research and a lot of study of history. And clearly we've been preaching to the choir all along. You've got to know history because history repeats itself. Tell me where you stand within your own peer groups and what is the awareness level of 20 somethings and maybe even 30 somethings, in this arena, and I know that you travel quite a bit speaking. Who are your audiences?
I'll answer the last question, and then I'll work my way back. The audiences that I see speaking are—it really depends. It really depends on where I'm at. I've spoken to a group of young people in 20s, 30s, and I've spoken to older groups. So it's really a nice mix. As far as my own peer group, the general consensus is 75% of my generation is really on the wrong track.
Mm-hmm.
75% of my generation is really not paying attention to what's going on. They're more than willing to accept. I saw a post recently. The Examiner online newspaper had posted that the alleged kidnapper of the 16-year-old girl, and her name was Hannah,
mm-hmm.
was killed in the Idaho wilderness.
Right.
And the two top comments on that post were, glad they saved taxpayer dollars and glad he doesn't get a trial.
Yeah,
that
I can see that
sums up
their acceptance. Their acceptance of
yeah, exactly. That mentality sums up about 75% of my generation. But the other 25%.
I was afraid you were going to say the top post was "Where's Idaho?" But I'm glad to hear that that wasn't it.
We're saved.
Well, the other 25% of my generation are some of the most deft, smartest, and most constitutional generation in probably since the founding fathers' time.
And
the reason is because of the internet.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. because that is how I was not necessarily involved in starting it, but that speech you played was from Paul Festival
mm-hmm.
as. Somewhat involved in the Ron Paul Revolution. And that really reached out to young people in a way they could understand through videos, mm-hmm. through the internet. Without the internet, my generation would be close to hopeless.
Yeah. And you and I talked a little bit about that on the phone when we were talking about the awareness of young people and coming together with other generations, and you told me that the success in reaching your generation is primarily through social media, and that you know other generations need to stop bashing the younger generations for their constant use of electronics, but to embrace that because that's how they're getting their knowledge.
Exactly. My first speech was at the Northwest Ohio Conservative Conference. A great friend up here, John McAvoy, runs the Northwest Ohio Tea Parties. And it was a packed room. There was about 400 people there. And I was asked the question, you know, how do you get those young people to listen? Because they're always sitting there and they're always texting and they're always on their Facebook and they'll never get out into the real world. And the answer I have to that is reach out to my generation
mm-hmm.
in a language they understand.
Exactly. And, you know, me asking you that question, I really wanted to know because, you know, we've got to stop making assumptions about previous and upcoming generations, and we need to talk directly to those people and say, what do you need from me?
Yeah, but the funny part is, just, you know, it's like anything else. leave them alone.
Yeah.
Like people who can't multitask. I mean, that's a good example that cuts across the ages. Some people can, some people can't.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who cannot multitask are always angry with the people who are doing more than one thing. And I think it's because they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't conceive of anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So if those guys can text and carry on a conversation, I mean, I realize there's time for everything.
Sure.
But, you know, people are so busy trying to retool them,
mm-hmm.
and they're not giving off the right signs. You know, they don't get it because they're not freaking out the same way they're freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me laugh, you know? It's like, well, we've got to figure out what makes them work.
A,
it's like, no, we don't.
Here's a great example. On our Facebook page, we have somewhere close to about 11,400 people following it. And we posted a link to a, essentially it's a discussion from the U.S. Justice Foundation asking constitutional questions about the NDAA. That link reached 4,000 people. We also posted a picture of Kip from Napoleon Dynamite swirling his cup and spoons in his cup, and he says that Obama can indefinitely detain citizens without charge, so I guess you could say things are getting pretty serious. That reached 56,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. That's the difference between speaking to someone in their language. Reach out. You know, the way I woke up was through a video. Had somebody told me to sit down and watch the PowerPoint, I would have ignored them.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
If the, and this is somewhat of a light criticism of the Tea Party, if the Tea Party, I've been to meetings where they actually had like a slide projector, and I kind of went, oh my God, really?
Yeah, you know, we have, hey, we have typewriters too, so, just so you know.
Well, so does the Kremlin now that we've got...
Yeah, I know,
no kidding. Communications, but it really is important to reach out to my generation through social media, through art and entertainment, through mm-hmm. the ways that we speak. The best
exactly.
way to describe it is, do not try to teach a man another language. Instead, speak to him in his.
Well, and that's, you know, and there was so much comparison between Obama and Romney during the presidential race, and Obama knew exactly how to reach people because he used social media, and he was the cool guy, and he was the hip guy, and he knew exactly how to do it. He knew who his target audience was, and Romney, basically, unfortunately, he did do things the old-fashioned way. I think he attempted to try to do it through social media, but, you know, it's like anything. Know your audience.
Well, and leave them alone. You know,
yeah,
I mean, that's always my thing. Mm-hmm. It's like if you give your kids a task, you know, hey, I need you to go do whatever, and then people automatically run out there and want to tell them how to do it.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, leave them alone. Maybe they'll figure out their own way to do it, which wasn't your way, but that's okay. Just
mm-hmm.
see if it's going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like, I don't know, we've become a lot of, you know, there's a lot of micromanaging going on.
Absolutely.
And so because of that, people are evaluating how are people under 30 responding to what's going on in politics. Well, they're not going to giant meetings,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean they're not paying attention.
That's right.
They're doing a lot in small groups. They're doing a lot online.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of activity, but if you're not involved in that, you don't know what's happening. So they automatically assume nothing's happening. Oh, and Bob's telling me something is happening that we have to take a really quick break. Dan, hang with us. We'll be right back. We're going to thank our advertisers since we still live in America with a C. We have advertisers. Go figure. Be right back with you. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair, 'cause I might open my eyes and find someone
Okay, we're back. Hey, Dan, so Aaron and I decided that we have definitely reached your generation because we are different generations, and you're laughing at my jokes. So
that's how Elizabeth decides if you're smart or not, if you laugh at her jokes. I'm like, man, you need higher standards.
That's my qualifier. Hey, so Dan's been recognized as one of the top 30 impromptu speakers across the nation, and he's written for online publications, including the Huffington Post, Policy Mike, and Western Journalism, and has been interviewed on multiple radio shows, including Coast to Coast. So here's my question to you. One of the articles that you wrote on Huffington Post, we put on our website at wethepeopleradio.us, and we've got about 3.5 minutes before the top of the hour break, but I pulled Anonymous, GoDaddy, and SOPA, a warning of what's to come. So my question to you is, when we're talking about social media and that being basically the lifeline of information for your generation, what concerns do you have on the Internet going down or websites being pulled?
Mm-hmm. I think with my generation, a lot of us started paying attention when SOPA was introduced.
And give the folks, tell folks what SOPA is.
Sure. SOPA was the Stop Online Piracy Act. Now, much like the Patriot Act or the National Defense Authorization Act, if a bill name sounds happy, it's probably not.
Yeah.
If it sounds like it's going to protect you, it probably won't. Sounds like it's going to keep you safe, it probably takes away your constitutional rights. Well, SOPA was the same thing. SOPA would have allowed any company such as, or any association such as the Motion Picture Association of America or the Recording Industry Association of America to designate a certain website as having copyrighted content and either pull the website from the Internet or pull that content from the website. However, the ability to pull any website from the Internet by merely alleging that it had copyrighted content could have led essentially to censoring the Internet. In fact, it was so realized by people around the Internet that this could happen, such massive sites as Wikipedia, WordPress, Reddit, and others actually blacked out for one day of protest against SOPA.
Okay, Dan,
that
we're
is
gonna
cool. We're going to be right back with Dan. We're listening to, you're listening to We the People Radio. Well, we're listening too, I guess. Go online and check out Dan here while we're listening to the news. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Back in 5 minutes.
Hour number two of We the People, up next after the news here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
And we're back with hour two of We the People Radio. If you're just tuning in, we're at wethepeopleradio.us, chatting and streaming worldwide. Call a number, 530-605-4567. You're joining your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our show producer, Bob Martin. I really encourage you to pay close attention to the music because Bob does an outstanding job of matching the lyrics of the songs directly to our topics.
It's called propaganda.
Yeah.
It's called.
Yeah, it is.
We have our We the People propaganda.
And who doesn't?
Bob's in charge of that.
Who doesn't? So everything about our guest today, Dan Johnson, is on WeThePeopleRadio.us. That's our webpage. Robert Exter puts that up every week. No excuse not to go there and check it out.
And you know what we didn't point out the last hour?
Mm-hmm.
Dan is a political science major at Bowling Green State University.
Yeah. And
he speaks a moderate amount of Japanese.
Yeah,
now, that's a random
cool.
Fun fact. How'd you wind up doing that, Dan? Dan?
Are you in there, Dan?
Where's our hostage?
Yeah.
Oh, there you
are. Lured away by breakfast, friends, the Internet.
Were
you on the Internet?
Were you on the Internet, Dan? Were you trying to do more than one thing at a time? Were you texting?
I'm going to neither confirm nor deny that. So.
All right, that'll work.
You young people, you're all the same.
Hey, so how is it you speak Japanese?
I actually have family in Okinawa, Japan.
Okay.
And they came over for a couple weeks when I was deciding, because of my World War II fanaticism, I was deciding whether I was going to learn Japanese.
It's always good when you can admit your fanaticism. You know, you just don't say it's like a hobby. It's like, just go all the way.
I have borderline mental illness with World War II.
That's funny.
Well, I mean, what can I say? I'm a radical limited government extremist.
So. You suddenly spelled America with a K and it frightened you. Ah!
And Bob, when we were coordinating this show through the week, Bob shot me an email and said, do you think we should send a copy of this show to the NSA? And Dan wrote back and he goes, I think they already have it. And then I wrote back, I'm pretty sure we're all on a list somewhere.
The NSA is probably the one who sent, they probably sent us Dan's information. We just think we found it.
There you go. Yeah, it was strategically placed. Hey, so Dan, let's talk about Panda. And I know that, how did you start Panda? I mean, it can't possibly be a one-man show. I know you've got a staff, and I know that the Oath Keepers are really involved in helping you get this off the ground. So tell us all about it.
Sure. When we kind of talked a little bit about how I came to the realization that this law existed, and on January 3rd, so a couple days after it was signed into law, I decided, well, we really, you know, we can't sit back and watch this happen. So started up a couple of a Twitter account, YouTube account, and started posting to everyone I knew and started connecting people on Twitter. Back then it was a trending topic on Twitter, so people were talking about it. And started making connections that way. And then I went to the local Young Americans for Liberty chapter on campus, and talked to them about doing something about this. And on the 29th of January, 2012, Panda was born. I called it something ridiculous, like BCRN. It was like four acronyms within an acronym. And one of the people who worked with very closely, Zach Schock, kind of said, hey, we should call it Panda, People Against the NDAA. And thus, Panda was born. Our first action on the 21st of February, supported by the Ohio Oath Keepers and the Young Americans for Liberty, along with Bowling Green Occupy, was to head down to our city council. We brought 21 college students there. We had the newspaper write two articles about us in beforehand, and we had the local TV crews there. And we essentially asked them to uphold their oath to the Constitution, to refuse to allow this to happen in their city. And I figured, hey, we filled the room. There was standing room only outside. And this is the last time that any students got involved was in politics. It was about 3 years ago. So they haven't seen this. Yeah. So I figured, well, that's going to have an impact on them, and we're going to make some progress. Well, the response I got back from the mayor, and I quote, these students should have taken Government 160. They don't know the inner workings of our national government, and it's up to us, in some respects, to educate them. Close quote.
Wow.
My city councilman pulled me aside, and he said, I love that you're getting involved, but get involved with something you can actually have an effect on.
Ooh, the old, this is over your head, honey.
Yeah.
You should play small ball. Nice.
Exactly.
That's not
and
super
joyful. So what I figured should be easy. You know, you go to your city council and you figure, well, they're going to uphold their oath. I mean, it's an oath to the Constitution. This is so blatantly unconstitutional that anybody with half of a knowledge should be able to discerned that they need to do something about it. But the response we got was, yeah, essentially, why are you kids getting involved in politics? Go back to college. Go back and play with your dolls, and then come back out when you're ready to vote.
For them. Let's make sure you finish the sentence. Go back and do something different, and then come back when you're ready to vote
for me.
And go back and get indoctrinated so that you can come out and do things the way we want you to.
For me. Yeah.
And for me, exactly. And so I had a choice at that point. I mean, I was devastated, to be honest. That was the biggest thing I'd engaged in my entire life. I did my Eagle Scout project, but that was only about 10 people. I mean, I organized, we had the TV crews, we had the interviews, we had everything. And I was devastated. Just, really? What? I thought that, you know, you see all the political signs that say, get involved, go out and get involved in politics, and you have people tell you all the time, well, go out and get involved, go out and do something. You're young, and none of the young people ever get involved, so you go out and get involved. And it was kind of a slap in the face to do what I thought they wanted us to do and do what I thought that the country needed us to do, and to just get told, go back to your class and come back out when you're ready to vote for me. you have a choice. Everybody can credit that one person in their lives who told them no and told them you'll never be anything and told them yeah. you'll never do anything with your life. Everyone can credit at least that one person with being the reason that we did do something.
Mm-hmm.
And the option I chose was to prove him wrong. And so, a couple months later, we launched Panda nationwide, in April 2012. We gained our first victory when a constable in Pennsylvania signed a resolution against the NDAA refusing to enforce it. And moved on from there, growing fairly rapidly, and in November, there were 3 amendments to the NDAA in the U.S. Senate that would have made it worse, and we killed 2 of them, and we were part of a broad coalition that killed the 3rd. And we battled in 22 state legislatures this year. We're now the largest organization in the nation fighting the NDAA with 37 state teams across the country.
Nice.
We have had Harry Reid fly down from Washington, D.C. to kill our legislation.
God, that's always a badge of honor there.
Yeah, I know. We've had Buck McKeon, who's the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. We've had his son come down to kill our legislation. We have had state senators actually tell their entire legislative staff that if they introduce any of our bills, they will not get the support of the Wisconsin Republican Party next year, and they will not be reelected.
Wow. And you know you're successful when you get that kind of attention.
Yeah, when everybody hates you, you must be doing something right.
Right.
Which is just counter.
Exactly.
It's kind of a counterintuitive, though, because when I say things like that, it's like, well, okay, I could think of instances where both sides would hate you and you'd be totally wrong. But anymore, it's like all bets are off. You know? There is no always and there is no never.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan. We've got folks online here asking us if there's a group in California or how is it that you're organized? How can people like be part of this? How do they jump on board with you? Now that we've identified who the critics are, you should go to Harry Reid or Buck McKeon, depending on which party you are. But if you want to help, what should they do?
In California, we have a startup team. They're about a month old, but they're an extremely active startup team headed up by Omar Boskert out of Los Angeles and sometimes in Sacramento.
Okay.
And the way you can join the California team is you go online to pandaunite.org. That's pandaunite.org. And you can join us. You click the Join Us tab. Note that you're from California. And we'll forward your email directly on, or your contact information directly on to Omar and the team so you can get involved in taking back California for liberty. And then, there are 2 things coming up, actually. I will be in San Francisco for Libertopia on the 30th of August. And on the 12th of October, if you're in the Los Angeles area, on the 12th of October, one of the biggest festivals featuring greats like Ziggy Marley, Saving Abel, Nas, Lupe Fiasco, and Jesse Ventura. All kinds of real, real big-name speakers. Free and Equal United We Stand Fest. Canada is helping to co-sponsor that event in Los Angeles on October 12th, and I'll be down there to speak at that. So there are two. I'll be in California a couple times coming up. And also on our website at Panda Unite, that's just panda like you spell the bear, pandaunite.org, pandaunite.org, you can get involved there.
And I just want to throw it out there again, if you're just tuning in, that we are speaking with Dan Johnson, founder of pandaunite.org, and not to keep throwing that out there, but he's 20 years old.
There you have
it. There is hope. And, you know, the funny thing is, as Aaron and I have been involved in this liberty and freedom movement, as many of our friends and comrades have, for 4 or 5 years. And it started off with the Tea Party, and as time has gone on, and we've begun to realize that this is not a partisan issue. None of the issues facing us are partisan any longer, and I'm so pleased to see that we are finding more and more and more grassroots organizations, and I really highlight the word grassroots because that is what has saved the country before, and we are all coming together under the same umbrella. You know, we've done a lot of projects and come to an agreement on issues with the ACLU. We didn't think that we would see that day. So, you know, we've all come to realize as we've woken up that there are a lot of people out there waking up, fighting the battle, and creating these grassroots organizations. And it's wonderful to connect with all of them. And yours is just another example.
Absolutely. Okay, it's 9:20. We better take a swift break, or we'll be back to the back to the top of the hour train wreck. All right, coming back with We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You can click the button there and join us on the chat room. We forgot to promote that today. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my give a damn's busted.
Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
I love that song.
I do too.
God, Bob, you just hit it out of the ballpark again.
Liked it.
Never knew it meant so much. So, Dan, you talk about writing legislation. What kind of a team do you have in pandaunite.org that is writing this legislation, and do you have the cooperation of any of our elected officials?
Sure. The team that we work with who actually writes the legislation and has produced a wonderful piece of legislation that blocks the law of war called the Restoring Constitutional Governance Act is the Patriot Coalition. The Patriot Coalition has been, they're kind of a behind-the-scenes group. They have been a powerful force in Congress at several occasions. You may have heard of the other organization that they run, which is the FIRE Coalition, or the Federal Immigration Reform and Enforcement Coalition, that killed the SAVE Act, which would have essentially authorized biometric ID for any person in the United States.
Let people know what that is, just in case they're not properly frightened.
Sure. Biometric ID is essentially, usually your driver's license has a picture of you and, you know, a little bit of information about you. But instead of just having a picture of you, and instead of it just being a state thing, it would be national. That means the federal government would have that information on you. And you would also, it would also include a scan of your eye, your DNA, things of the sort, to further identify you, and could be used, was actually going to be used, to verify whether or not you could be employed. And having the federal government be able to decide whether or not you get employment based on your ID.
Sure, and how hard would it be to eliminate your ability to travel or restrict you in some way? I mean,
not at all,
God.
So they killed that, and that was back in 2009, I believe. But we worked very closely with them, and the legislation that they've drafted is the best in the country, without a doubt, because we focus here at Panda, I'm sure you've heard the concept of nullification.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between nullification and interposition. And actually, both concepts were put forth in the resolutions of 1789. Nullification, the dictionary definition, is to get rid of something. To make something nullified. Well, with a law like the NDAA, which is unconstitutional, all laws which are unconstitutional are null and void from their inception. Marbury Madison, 1806.
Sure.
So you really can't nullify something that doesn't exist. And
interesting.
To nullify the law does not necessarily guarantee that it will not be enforced, just that it's not on the books. Interposition was put forth by James Madison, and he described it as erecting barriers between a rogue federal government and the people of the state. So it is a state government not only saying we don't like this law and we won't enforce it,
mm-hmm.
but saying, we don't like this law, it's unconstitutional, and you won't enforce it, because we have a sovereign duty to protect the rights of our people. See, the oath of office does not say you will uphold the law. It says you will uphold the Constitution.
Right.
Because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and nothing becomes supreme unless it falls within the bounds of that Constitution. And so when a sheriff says he will interpose, he is upholding his oath to the Constitution, and he must interpose. He cannot say, I will just sit back. If a table has three legs and you're holding up one corner, you're supporting that table, you can't fulfill an oath, you can't fulfill an obligation to support that table by telling someone else to do it. You took that obligation. And so we work through the Restoring Constitutional Governance Act, which is step one. We work to get that signed into law, which requires the interposition of whoever passed that legislation, whether it be the sheriff or the county commission or what have you. And then we go to the enforcers and say, look, now there's a law in the books. Now, there's something that says, because the Constitution, the Supreme Court, as Thomas Jefferson predicted, has eviscerated the Constitution and interpreted it, which is something they were never designed to do. And so we have to look to essentially a new law to put in place so that our enforcers will listen. But when we get this law in place, or specifically says, laws of war shall not be used in this county or in this city, then we get the local people to stand up and say no. We get the local government to stand up and say no. You do not have an effect on your national representatives when you call them. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. They don't care. How many times have we called our national representatives about, for example, there was millions of calls that went in to the Congress when SOPA was being introduced, the Stop Online Piracy Act. And that didn't stop them from attempting to pass it. And not only that, they continue to introduce new internet killing bills every year. It doesn't work. You have to go to your local government. All politics is local. It's got to start there.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's
so
what,
we gotta go
that's,
to our
what
local government.
That's what we have said all along from the very beginning. But I do want to, Aaron and I were talking off air, and we oftentimes use a broad brush to paint agencies, groups, and so forth, and we talked about how there are good people to be found in any bureaucratic agency or government office. But in relationship to our congressional representatives, there are some in that group that are definitely fighting with and for the people. I think it's safe to say that the majority of them are not, but there are some that are in there that are true grassroots representatives. And, you know, we're fortunate enough here in Northern California to have one of those individuals fighting for us. So you do need to get to know your local government officials, representatives, and so forth.
Well, and you have to look item by item, too, mm-hmm. because everybody's not right on every single thing. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funny. You know, there are these organizations that send out, you know, blast phone calls, for instance, and they say, you know, last week it was support legalization for our immigrants, or I forget how they worded it, but it was nutty. And push one if you want to be connected to your local representative. Well, at that office, when they picked up the phone, the people on the other end didn't even know why they were calling.
Mm-hmm.
They had no clue where they were calling, but they totally jammed up their entire day and buried them in phone calls about nothing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, if you want to be active and you want to influence, at least know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Call Dan first so he can smarten you up.
Hey, so Dan, you talked
about... And this is... And this is what... Assuming we don't have a break coming up.
Could you see Bob nodding his head? That's freaking me out.
This is something that I would urge everyone listening to this radio show to do. We consider ourselves the quote-unquote mothership. In every revolution, there's a core. But if only that core exists, there's not a revolution. There can't be. Mm. That core is not strong enough. The revolution has to be spontaneous around the core. Everyone listening to this, it doesn't take much. Go on pandaunite.org. Grab one of the pieces of legislation, the Restoring Constitutional Governance Act, for your state, for your city, for your county. Talk to your local, county, and state representatives and say, look, this is something that needs to be done to protect our liberty, to restore our constitution, to restore constitutional governance in our state. Take them. Go out there, and then when you're ready to go or when you need some help, contact us. We're more than happy to provide advice. We've got some of the most experienced people on staff here at PANDA. We're more than happy to provide advice, more than happy to provide help. We have 37 states with teams. We're more than happy to link you up with that team. But take that first step. Just imagine if everyone listening to this radio show at half, let's just say half, say 50%, half the people listening to this radio show in the next 3 weeks took that legislation, educated themselves on the NDAA, went down to their city council and county commission and said, we need you to do something about this. What happens? These guys talk to each other. They're talking to each other all the time. There's commissioner cliques and there's city councilman cliques. And if they all get together and they say, hey, you know, I had these people approach me about the NDAA. You ever heard of that? Yeah, you know, I had those people approach me yesterday. Really? Really? Well, what is going on here? We create a political force. And I used to work in telemarketing. I hated it, by the way. I do not recommend it. Nobody do that. Anyway. I used to work in telemarketing, and we had what we called the four-time rule. And essentially what it said is 85% of people cannot say no to something four times.
Say that again. 85% of the people can't say, so you just keep doing it over and over and over, and they wears them down?
And it's not just you, saying the same thing to them, because they can choose to ignore you.
Sure.
But from four different people, four different times, most people cannot ignore that. Most people cannot deny that. You know, Joseph Goebbels knew this. Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister knew this, and he said, if you tell a lie, tell it big and tell it often. Why? Because people believe it by repetition. And so if half people listening to this radio broadcast go out, take one of those resolutions, take a week to educate themselves on the NDAA, and call us when they need some help and some assistance. And we get 300 people going out throughout Idaho, throughout California, throughout Oregon, throughout their states and their city councilmen, and saying, you need to do something about this. They're going to start seeing repetition. Several people from the same county are going to go, they're going to meet each other, they're going to go, you know what? We're actually fighting this together. And then the city councilmen are going to see a political force. See, almost all, about 98% of politicians are what we call political animals. They are looking to get either reelected or move up the chain or stay elected. And they're always looking at public opinion. That's what changes their minds. Well, if 300 people from this radio show go out, go to their city council and go to their county commission and say, the rights and the liberties of my children and my grandchildren are more important than my fear of speaking to my local officials.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how you have a grassroots revolution.
And besides the fear of speaking to the local officials is the speaking in an ineffective way. That's equally bad. We need to take a really swift break. We will be back with you in just, 2 minutes or less than 2 minutes. What do we have, Bob? 2 seconds? Can we do a 2 second commercial?
All right. You got about 5 seconds right now.
See you in 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR.
I'd like to know where you got the notion.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
I don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
The more you ignore me, the closer I get. You're wasting your time. The more you ignore me, the closer I get. You're wasting your time.
Okay. Say it four times fast.
Yeah, no kidding. We're fast approaching the last half hour of our two-hour show. So, Dan, we did have somebody call in, and we were a little confused about the context of their question. They asked what your definition of the rule of law is, and we think that that's pretty apparent, but what do you think?
Well, from my knowledge,
nice setup.
The rule of law is merely a law that applies to everyone. It does not exempt people. It's equal protection under the law.
Which originally stems from the Constitution.
Exactly. And now, colloquially, I've heard the term rule of law referred to as anything that is in congruence with the Constitution. So that is a possible definition of the rule of law is a law that is in congruence or concurrent with the Constitution. But
it's tough because I had somebody on chat, like on the chat room, they were talking about Obamacare. And they said, but Obamacare is against the Constitution. But we have this unpleasant fact that the Supreme Court upheld it and said it was constitutional. So, do you go with what makes sense, or do you have to follow what the Supreme Court said? Huh?
Nope. Thomas Jefferson said very clearly in a letter to Mr. Jarvis in September 1820.
Look at you.
He said that you consider the Supreme Court, I'm paraphrasing him, but he said you consider the Supreme Court the final arbiter of the Constitution. what you have done is you have created an oligarchy of nine men.
Uh-huh.
And you ask, well, there must be an arbiter somewhere. Yes, there must. And I believe that final arbiter should be the people. And this is very apparent in the way that our sheriff's system is set up. See, anyone who takes an oath to the Constitution has not only the right, but the duty to determine what is and what is not constitutional. When you take an oath, let's say that you take an oath to drink a glass of water every day, and you continue drinking your glass of water, and then you come across sparkling water. Well, if you're not allowed to determine what is water and what is not in order to uphold your oath, how can you uphold that oath? Let's say you decide sparkling water is not water. It doesn't count. It doesn't count for your oath. But the Supreme Court says sparkling water is water, and you shall drink it. What do? You know, Judge Marshall, back in the early 1800s, said to take an oath that did not allow someone to determine the constitutionality of that oath would be nothing less than a crime. So we have a system set up, and a lot of people, it doesn't make sense to them, because a lot of people want a final arbiter, a final solution, a final decision. And back in ancient times, people always wanted a king to make the final decision. They always want someone to finalize it, and so no one has to worry about it, so there's no more vigilance required. Just final, done, we're over with. And that's how people have looked at the Supreme Court. But, you see, anyone who takes notes of the Constitution can determine the constitutionality of a law. If they could not, they would not be able to uphold that oath. And then the major question is, well, what if a sheriff decides that violating the Fourth Amendment is constitutional? Well, this is where Thomas Jefferson's wise words come in.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff's elected, and if he decides that violating the Fourth Amendment and entering our houses without a warrant is constitutional, we remove him from office.
Yep.
We, the people, are the final arbiters of the Constitution. We, the people, are the government. If we, the people, were not the final arbiters of the Constitution, we would live in nothing less than an oligarchy or a monarchy. We do not live in that.
And seriously, for those that don't know what an oligarchy and what was the other one you said? I just lost my train of thought.
A monarchy.
Monarchy, sorry. I was thinking a monopoly. Can you explain the definitions of those two forms of government?
Sure. Mono, it meaning one, or being singular. A monarchy is essentially you have a dictator or a king. One person makes the final decision. An oligarchy is where a select small group of people, more than one, but a very small group of people, make the final decision.
And that would be currently known as the elite?
The powers that be, the elite, however you'd like to refer to them as, yes.
And, you know, U.S. government and U.S. history used to cover all of the different forms of government in detail, and I doubt they teach that in school anymore. I don't know.
Well, they still refer to America as a democracy.
Yeah,
so.
I know. Isn't it amazing how many people don't know that it's a representative republic?
We are a constitutionally limited representative republic, and absolutely, and that's one of the... It's deliberate dumbing down.
Sure it is.
It's a deliberate attempting to make people not think. And I think one of the most dangerous things that our culture and our society has done, getting a little philosophical here, is Confucius said, when words lose their meaning, people lose their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
He's right.
Yeah.
You see, when the drone paper was leaked from the Justice Department on how to kill Americans and on how they decided and what were their legal excuses for killing American citizens with drones, when that drone paper was leaked, the Justice Department redefined the word imminent, to not require an imminent threat. They redefine terms. So you can go out there and say, we're a republic. But what happens when the government redefines the word republic?
Yeah.
Yeah, then it's all just sleight of hand. It's again, back to that 85% of the people can't fight against something that they're told four times. Mm-hmm. You know, phony scandal, phony scandal, phony scandal.
Yeah, lie.
Just,
eventually,
it's funny how you see that happen all the time.
And it's so basic. I mean, all you have to do is tell somebody the same thing a handful of times, and they'll believe it.
Wear them down.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, do we need to take one more break, or did we fit all those in?
No, we have one more break coming.
Okay. Are we there?
We are there.
Am I pressuring you? That laughing meant yes.
You're asking too many questions.
Shut up over there. Hey, so we're going to be back with Dan Johnson here. We're talking about pandaunite.org. That's the website you can check out here. You've got a couple of minutes. Going to thank our advertisers here in the last 15 minutes of the program. If you're going to give us a call, you better do it fast. 605-4567.
The old man turned off the radio, said, where did all of the old songs go? Kids sure play funny music these days. They play it in the strangest way. Said it looks to me like they've all gone wild. It was peaceful back when I was a child. Well, man, could it be that the girls and boys are trying to be heard above your noise? And the lonely voice of youth cries, what is truth?
Secret squirrel.
Oh, God.
Splashes in. Sirens. Warn tsunami. Secrets come. Sirens, what am I doing? He can breathe in water. Yeah.
And we're back. Hey, before we get off track and actually.
Called Secret Squirrel.
And that was Bob. I can't believe you found that. So before we get back on with Dan, I wanted to remind people about the Reading Tea Party meeting tomorrow night, 2570 South Bonneville Road, 6 o'clock sharp. We are going to have some very special guests. We're going to have a couple of folks that we had on our radio show for three consecutive weeks.
Oh, yeah.
They were independent contractors in Libya. They know the truth about Benghazi. They know the truth about the entire country, what happened with the U.S. military. And our Alphabet Soup agencies, and they are the ones who were contacted by the FBI and the CIA, Aaron, after our first show with them. Our attempt at
disguising their voices.
Yeah, we used
Skype.
Yeah, we used software to try to disguise their voices because they did not want to be identified. And afterwards, they were contacted by the FBI and the CIA asking them why they tried to disguise their voice when they were on We the People Radio. So they will be in Reading tomorrow
night.
So, Dan,
they'll be at your house tomorrow wanting to know why you used your real name and you didn't use Skype to disguise your voice.
So we know they listen. By the way, we had
Randall, a concerned listener, wanting to be sure that we made Dan aware of the three programs that we did with the folks that you're talking about.
But, you know, we all know, you know, we're going to do our thing anyway.
So if you go to the archives at WeThePeopleRadio.us, the shows are there on Libya.
Remember the dates, roughly?
No, it was a few weeks ago.
I'm thinking.
It wasn't that long ago.
No, go back about 6 weeks.
It was in June.
Okay, so the deal is they're going to be speaking in Reading tomorrow night, the 12th, August 12th, at 6 p.m. at Destiny Fellowship Church. That would be the regular Tea Party meeting. That meeting is going to probably run long because people will have a lot of questions.
I recommend that you get there early to get a seat.
Yep, great info on Syria and Egypt and just... They were there.
They know.
Well worth the effort. And they're bringing... Oh, they're bringing also... I think they might bring slides, Dan. I'm kidding. They live like PowerPoint or something, but they've got tons of pictures and things from before the NATO strikes over there, and all the bad stuff we were into that we were lied to again about. So
it will be an incredible meeting. You really need to go.
Yep. If you're curious what was going on in Benghazi and all that good stuff,
and you should be.
There you go.
Are they using their real names tomorrow?
Yep. Yeah, they're Jimmy and Joanne Moriarty.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And they have relatives in the area, and they're available to speak. So. If you are curious about that, get a hold of us at We the People here, and we'll get you their info.
I think they tried to stay undercover for a while, but they're out there with the
rest of us. They might as well hide out in the open. It's a lot safer.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Sorry, Dan. Back to you.
So, on
that happy note.
Dan's like, what have I gotten myself into?
Dan's like, what have I
done? I warned him. Hey, so the last 4 or 5 minutes, why don't you wrap it up in the way that you see best?
Okay. Well.
Open mic.
The way I would kind of wrap this up is, first of all, it's really important to understand that the first step toward action is education, making sure you know what's going on, and also making sure you're able to educate other people. So you can head to pandaunite.org and check out information on the NDAA, and if you need a quick primer, you or your family or someone you know needs a quick primer on the NDAA, we've created a website that's a single page, nothing but quick info on the NDAA. That's ndaa2012.us, ndaa2012.us. Now, with that being said, it's also important to know how to educate other people. To wrap up the tips on reaching out to my generation, speak to us in our language. Video is a big, big way we learn. Pictures, big, big way we learn. My generation doesn't read very often. And if we do read, it's something we're seriously interested in. So pictures and video. Reach out to us through audiovisual. Reach out to us through something fun. The United We Stand Fest is expected to draw 30,000 people. And most of them are going to be young people. How are we drawing them? Big rock bands, Saving Abel, big rappers, Lupe Fiasco. That's how we're drawing in the young people. I believe it's Congressman Ron Paul said, in order for there to be a revolution, it would first have to be fun, and there would have to be music.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. So reaching out to my generation, reach out to us in a way we can understand, because we need to know the things you know. The experience of the greatest generation, the experience of baby boomer generation, has been invaluable to us here at Panda. But you need to reach out to us in a way that we can speak that language.
Sure. Next, and instead of trying to pull you back.
Yeah. How do we fight back? Because it's one thing to educate. One of the things that we've had people tell us over and over again as they join our organization is say, you guys are actually fighting back. You guys are actually doing something. You guys are actually making a difference. That's why I want to join up with you. How do we fight back? Panda is the core. If you want to join our organization, awesome. If you want to donate to our organization, also great. Helps us do what we do. You can go to pandaunite.org. Elsewise, or even if you do join up, go to find out when your next city council meeting is. Find out what your next county commissioner meeting is. Set up an appointment with your state rep. If we get the people who listen to this radio show to go out there, just go on the website under resources, click sample legislation, pick the one for your state, learn about the NDAA, and then go out to your city council, go out to your county commission, and start the process. We're more than happy to help. We have state teams all across the country. But a revolution starts with a core, and then it's grassroots, and then it's spontaneous, and then it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And if we can make this everywhere, all at once, go to your sheriffs, go to your county commissions, go to your city councils, if we can make this everywhere, this is our line in the sand. I just got back from Southern Oregon, so not too terribly far from you guys. And the speeches I gave down there, I kept reiterating, line in the sand. We've compromised too much already. Compromise has killed liberty. Compromise has killed the Constitution. We've compromised too much already. This is our line in the sand. If we don't draw it at indefinite military detention, possible execution, rendition to foreign countries, and torture of people not convicted of a crime, where do we draw that line? I don't know where else to draw it.
All right.
But and, if we the people go out to our local governments and we chip at the bottom of that pyramid of corruption and we chip it till there's 51% and that center of gravity tips, that pyramid will fall.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. To take action.
And you know what? We're counting on you to keep doing it, and we're right there with you. If you guys come up with things and you need to get it out to the people, get a hold of us. We'd love to have you on again. Dan Johnson, handyunite.org. Thank you, Dan. All right, folks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. All right, you're going to hear from the folks all about Libya here in Reading tomorrow night, 6 p.m., Destiny Fellowship Church. And on that happy note, we'll see you all next week here at We the People.
Thank you, Dan, Aaron, and Elizabeth. This is KCNR Shasta Reading.